Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky full of stars.
Hello again, and welcome to the AAA podcast for May. We are now well into spring, and the days are continuing to lengthen. Remember, we are now in British summertime, and the following times for the rising and setting of the sun reflect this. At the beginning of the month, the sun will rise around 5:30 and will set around 8:30. At the end of the month, it will rise around 4:45 and set around 9:15. It is the time of the year when astronomers think about twilight, the period of time when the sun has set but is not sufficiently far below the horizon for the sky to be fully dark. Three levels of twilight have been defined. Civil twilight lasts from sunset to the time when the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon. Nautical twilight continues from the end of civil twilight until the sun is 1 degree below the horizon. Astronomers like the sky to be as dark as possible, and so have a more stringent definition. Astronomical twilight lasts from the end of nautical twilight until the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon. Unfortunately, by the end of May, at our latitude, the sun will not sink below 18 degrees at all at night, so it never gets properly dark. The moon will reach first quarter on May the 3rd, will be full on May the 10th, will be at last quarter on May the 19th, and will be new on May the 25th. The moon is quite busy this month. On May the 5th, at approximately 20 minutes past midnight British summer time, the dark limb of the moon will occult the star 49 Leo. Normally, when the moon occults a star, the star vanishes instantly as the moon's limb passes in front of it. This event promises to be different. 49 Leo is a double star and has two components shining at magnitudes +5.8 and +7.9. They are separated by only 2 seconds of an arc, so a medium-sized telescope with high magnification should split them. It is likely that, even though the two components are very close, their disappearance will not be instant. On May the 7th, the moon will pass about 1 degree north of the planet Jupiter. This should present a fine sight in binoculars. On May the 31st, the moon will pass close to the star Regulus in the constellation of Leo. This will be low in the west, the closest approach being in daylight. Jupiter still dominates the southern sky and is the only easily observed planet in the sky this month. On the 15th of May, all four Galilean moons can be seen on one side of the planet and will be in order of their distances from Jupiter. Io will be closest, followed by Europa, Ganymede and Callisto. During the month, the moons will pass across the face of the planet together with their shadows and can be observed through a telescope. Some examples are as follows. On the 6th of May, Io will be crossing the disk as darkness falls. Its shadow will enter the disk at 19:33. Io will leave the disk at 21:05, followed by its shadow at 21:44. On the 11th of May, Europa will enter the disk at 23:07, followed by its shadow at 39 minutes past midnight on the 12th. Europa will leave the disk at 1:33, followed by its shadow at 3:05. On the 27th of May, Ganymede will enter the disk at 19:15, followed by its shadow at 23:22. It will leave the disk at 21:39, followed by its shadow at 1:40 on the 28th. Another comet should be visible this month, Comet 2015 V2, known as Johnson. It should be visible all night and may reach magnitude +6. It will be riding high in the sky at the beginning of the month above the constellation Bootes, the herdsman. It will travel south and will be roughly level with and 5 degrees to the left of Beta Bootes on the 10th of May. It will continue south and will be roughly 5 degrees to the left of Alpha Bootes, otherwise known as Arcturus, by the 2nd of June. This month, I thought we might look at some more double stars. We have already mentioned 49 Leo in connection with the occultation by the moon. When we look at the night sky, we see most stars as being single points of light. However, when observed through a telescope, many turn out to have companions. Some double stars present a particularly attractive sight, as the two stars are of contrasting colours. A fine example is Gamma Leo. Find the constellation of Leo and look at the head of the lion, which is often described as a reverse question mark. The lowest and brightest star in the question mark is Regulus, representing the full stop at the base of the question mark. The much fainter star above Regulus is Eta Leo. Continue tracing the question mark upwards and you will come to the brighter Gamma Leo. This star is named Algeiba and shines at magnitude plus 2.2. Observe it through binoculars and you will see it has a fainter companion shining at plus 4.8. This star is not connected to Algeiba. Its apparent closeness is just a line of sight effect. Look at Algeiba through a 3-inch or larger telescope with moderate magnification and you will see two stars shining at magnitudes plus 2.3 and plus 3.6, separated by 4.6 arc seconds. The stars are about 126 light years away and complete one orbit of each other every 500 years. They present a shining with a golden colour, but with larger telescope apertures, the brighter star is said to take on an orange-yellow hue, while the fainter appears as greenish-yellow. Bootes the herdsman has a bright star marking the waist of the herdsman. This is Epsilon Bootes and is a star with two names. It is sometimes called Izar and sometimes called Pulcherrimar. Pulcherrimar means the loveliest. When viewed through a telescope using a high magnification, say 150 to 200 times, the star will split into two components. One shines at magnitude plus 2.7 and has an orange hue. The other shines at magnitude plus 5.1 and shows a greenish blue hue. The colour contrast makes this double star a favourite and well deserving of its name. A double star that I find useful is none other than Alpha Ursa Minor, the pole star itself. Polaris is part of a triple star system. One star is very faint, but the main star shining at magnitude plus 2 has a companion shining at magnitude plus 9. The separation between the two is 18 arc seconds. I use Polaris to orientate my go-to telescope during the setup procedure. I know I'm correctly orientated north when I can see Polaris in the main scope, and I know it is Polaris when I can see the companion. Well, that's all for this month, and see you in June.